Today we're going to be talking about the way and the way of blessing. That's our focus for today in our study from Deuteronomy. Now, as we begin, I kind of want to back up just a little bit. I want to be exceedingly clear about something, that being a Christian means that a person is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if that's the case, why are we doing a multi-week study of characteristics of what it means to be in the way of following Jesus, the way of rest and relationships and wisdom and all that, and blessing for today? Because it is not a checklist of activities that someone can do to earn God's love and forgiveness. That's not how it works. Nor is it a list for a super Christian so that we can somehow feel superior to others who may not have these characteristics currently present in their life, or that we can act judgmental towards somebody else. That's not the purpose either. So why are we doing this? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. It teaches clearly that we are saved, we are forgiven for our sins, we are restored into a living relationship with God by His grace. It is a free gift, the Bible says, that we receive through faith as a result of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, in dying for us, in His resurrection, and in the opportunity to follow Him as our Lord and Savior. And let me say to you, I hope you have already done that. If you have not, I want to invite you to get in contact with us, email, telephone, whatever it is. Let's have a conversation about how you too can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and know the peace and the guidance and the blessing that comes from knowing Jesus Christ in that way. So the Bible teaches it's about that relationship. But the Bible also teaches that anyone who is really in a genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord will experience ongoing transformation in their life. There's a biblical phrase it uses. It says, by their fruits you will know them. And what that means is, for someone who is living a life that is submitted to Jesus as Lord, for someone who is walking with Jesus, that's another way we put it, someone who is fully committed to following Jesus, that life is going to reflect the same kind of life, the character, the aspects of the life of Jesus himself. Now, Jesus's followers were first called Christians, the Bible tells us, in a city called Antioch in the first few years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. They were called Christians. But it seems to be from history that perhaps even more common at first was that those who followed Jesus were known as the followers of the way. And that is part of the reason we chose this theme of studying the way. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And what does it mean to have this way? Because you do understand it's what the French call a double entendre, a double understanding, a double meaning in English, right? It's kind of a play on words. The way, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. So He's the way, but the Bible also says walk in His way, to be like Jesus. Loving God, having loving relationships with people, showing mercy, remembering the goodness of God, living with a rhythm of rest in your life, speaking truth, demonstrating humility, learning wisdom, sacrificing for others. These are all aspects of the way. So in this series of studies, we are focusing on this kind of second definition, not just the personal relationship with Jesus, but the way that it plays out in the different aspects of our lives. Now, we need to be careful a bit because we're using the study of Deuteronomy for this purpose, and Christians have to always be both respectful and careful in the study and application of the Old Testament to the life of the Christian, because the New Testament teaches us that Jesus fulfilled the Scriptures. Indeed, the New Testament book of Hebrews says that Jesus was the highest revelation of God. So while the scriptures are useful and inspired, as the Bible says, it also goes to the point of saying, but Jesus is the highest revelation. So we can't lose that when we get into a study of the Old Testament and take our eyes off Jesus. That would be a danger. So we have to always keep our eyes on Jesus while understanding that that same New Testament tells us that the Old Testament was inspired and given for our benefit. That's what we're doing in this study of the way in Deuteronomy. Now, our passage today is a bit of a long one, so I'm not really going to read it. I'm going to ask you to open your own Bibles to Deuteronomy chapters 8, 9, and 10, and I will be referring to different sections of each of those very briefly, but I want you to keep your Bible open, if you would, to those three chapters. We're not moving through Deuteronomy verse by verse, but we are trying to kind of keep the chapters in order in our studies. Next week, Jonathan will be coming out of Deuteronomy 11, and so today, chapters 8, 9, and 10, kind of a big picture view. And I have entitled today's message, The Way of Blessing, as a way of wrestling with the question, why has God blessed us the way He has? Why has God blessed me, you, us together? It's kind of like the old country song, Kris Kristofferson, right? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings, right? This is kind of the theme. And now, when I say I want to talk about us and our blessings today, the way of blessing, you might think, well, Pastor, we understand why you'd want to talk about that most of the time, but have you looked around lately? Do you understand that we're living in a pandemic? Do you understand that nearly 500,000 people have lost their lives in the COVID pandemic just in America? Do you realize that, you know, millions of people are unemployed, that businesses are closed and are never going to reopen, many of them? It doesn't feel like a lot of blessing, Pastor. So, I mean, our kids are stressed. You know, they really want to go to school, but can't. Teachers really want to go to school, but they really want to go safely and be vaccinated first. It's complicated. There's a lot of stuff. People who are already qualified to receive the vaccine, struggling to get an appointment to get a shot. And are you sure that today is the day you want to talk about the way of blessing? And my answer to that is yes, for a couple of reasons. One is because I always find that when God leads us to a book study of the Bible, He has a sense of what we're going to need at different times. So this is the section of Scripture that we come to today, chapter 8, 9, and 10. I do understand that it is perfectly natural in a time of suffering, pandemic, unemployment, stress, depression. It's perfectly natural for us, often even in prayer, to say to God, why me? In kind of a negative sense. What did I do to deserve this? That it's entirely natural. What I want to suggest to you today is that it's also completely, supernaturally natural that we ask that question in realization of our blessings. It might be that we're living in a time of great blessing, or it might be that in a time of great suffering, we realize how many blessings we still have. Again, the words of an old hymn come to mind, count your blessings, be aware of what's going on around you. And so for followers of the way, to ask the question, why me in times of blessing is an important perspective. When we're prospering, when we are being blessed, when good things are happening to us, God is providing for us, even in seasons of difficulty, it's very appropriate that we ask the question, why is God doing that? Why is God being good to us? Why is He blessing us? So, with your Bible open, in Deuteronomy 8, Moses points the people back to remember God's faithfulness through the wilderness, through different struggles. He does not want them to forget what they've been through as they are now coming and getting ready to cross over the River Jordan and move into the Promised Land. When we forget what God has done for us, we tend to think a little bit too highly of ourselves and what we have accomplished or what we have achieved. I want to remind you that earlier in our study of the way, we focused an entire week on the way of remembering. And that includes remembering very clearly the blessings that God has given us in the past. So that's what he does in chapter 8, kind of pointing out they didn't really deserve all those blessings, but God gave them. Now, in chapters 9 and 10, Moses begins to get them thinking about moving forward. He says that when you experience and receive the blessings that God has in store for you in the days to come, as you move into the promised land, as you become the people of God and the people of Israel and all that kind of thing, you're going to need to remember who did this for you, and you're going to need to remember why it was done for you. And he's not talking about himself. He's talking about God, of course. And that is really the point of our message today, the way of blessing. Remember what the Lord your God has done for you and why he has done it. So, when things are going well, or when you're just particularly aware of the blessings even in times of difficulty, we need to ask ourselves the question, if we're walking in the way of Jesus, why me, Lord? And to understand some things about how God and why God brings blessings. Deuteronomy 9 and 10 teach three important lessons about the undeserved goodness of God to us. So here's the first one. The Lord's blessings to you are not because of you. I'll say that again. The Lord's blessings to you are not because of you. Now, if you're looking at chapter 9, you'll notice it begins with this call to attention. Hear, O Israel. Did that ring a bell? Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. Rabbi Ari gave us an introduction to that. And that, hear, O Israel, get that right out, get your attention. It's a way, by repeating that exact same phrase, just to get their attention. This is also going to be important. This may not be another Shema, but it is very, very important for us. So the same beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 6, now we see again in chapter 9, and we see these lessons. The Lord's blessing is not because of us. And as he calls them to attention by saying, hear, Israel, he begins to lay out for them what I would call a challenging vision. Actually, it's probably even tougher than challenging. Probably the word impossible, or at least that sounds impossible, could be inserted in place of the word challenging. It's this mission that they're going to be given as they cross over into the promised land. He says, you're going to cross over into this promised land. It's incredibly challenging. It may seem impossible to you, but God is with you. You will have the victory. And then the rest of the passage he goes on to talk about, I think the purpose he's got behind there, is to help them, and by looking at them, to help us understand how to view and grasp our successes or blessings in life. Basically saying that, so when God steps in and God does for you what you cannot do for yourself against these enemies, because remember they were saying, oh my goodness, there are giants in the land. Oh my goodness, we can't possibly, they have walled cities. Oh my goodness, we can't. It seems impossible. He says, look, God can take care of it. And when he steps in and he does this impossible against the enemies, don't think, he says, don't think that God has blessed you over the enemy because you are righteous and they are not. What? What Moses is saying to them is, look, God's not doing this for you because you're so good. God is not doing this for you because you're righteous. God is not doing this for you because you perfectly keep to the will of God. You didn't earn this. Now, I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but the first movie I ever saw in a theater was The Sound of Music. you can look up the year it was. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Oh, that's a different movie. The Sound of Music, which I have seen many times since then, of course. Yes, we own a copy in our house. And one of the sweet songs from that movie, in a romantic moment between Maria and Captain Von Trapp, was the song called Something Good. They were seeking to understand and put words to this blessing of newly discovered love and romance between the two of them. And they sang those tender words, well, somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. I must have done something to earn this blessing. I must have done something right to merit this good thing that's happened. Now, it made for a very sweet moment in the gazebo in the movie. And by the way, I've been there. I've stood in that gazebo, but that's another story. We won't go there. But what I want you to grasp is that understanding that they had, that, oh, for me to get blessing now, I must have done something good, does not at all fit with what Moses is saying to God's people in Deuteronomy. And I don't think it's consistent with a biblical teaching throughout the New Testament either. It is not that we are blessed because we're so good. We're blessed because God is gracious. So as his people are thinking about, we're going to have to prepare ourselves and head into battle to take the land of Canaan, the promised land, Moses says, listen, remember, when you get the victory, this seemingly impossible victory, and it's yours, and you start asking, now, how did we get that victory? Why did we get that victory? He said, you need to remember, it's because there's a wickedness of the nations, and there's a promise of God that he was going to deliver this to you. So God's been good to you, but it's not because you've been good. It's not because you've been good to God. It's not because you've earned it. And so I kind of want to say to the people of Pathways, when we stand on the other side of the pandemic, whenever that time comes to be, whether that's September or December or whenever it comes to be, and we're on the other side, we shouldn't look back and say, well, you know, God blessed us and brought us through because we're good. That's not it. If God brings us through it, he's been so gracious so far. We really have been blessed beyond measure. But when we stand on the other side of the pandemic, it will simply be because God has been gracious to us, not because we deserved it or earned it. That's consistent with the message of Deuteronomy. The second lesson that comes out of this Bible passage is that you're blessed, again, not because you're good, but you're blessed because God is merciful to sinners. If you keep reading through chapter 9, you'll see a rehearsal of some of the things that are going on, a retelling of the story. And basically God says, look, I've been trying to teach you or yoke you. That's the language that gets used in some translations, because I want to lead you. I want to bless you, but you keep getting in your own way. You keep getting in my way of blessing you. He says, you keep rebelling. You are a stubborn people. I'm sure that doesn't apply to us. You know, maybe it does. Because really, that's a summary. Even though God is wanting to bless, God is giving guidance, there's pushback, there's resistance, and we end up being our own worst enemies sometimes. That really is kind of a summary of the rest of chapter 9 and what we'll find moving forward in this study is that Moses is reminding them that for 40 years in the wilderness, not only did God lead them, but often led them in spite of what they were doing, not because of what they were doing. They kept rebelling, they kept making God angry, and God kept on being merciful in spite of their sinfulness. That should sound familiar to all of us. Because when things are going well in your life, Moses says, remember how bad you have been. Now, that's an interesting thought. It sounds like something my mother said to me. You know, remember, you don't deserve it. It's a free gift. Do you remember how selfish and rebellious you've been? That's kind of what Moses is getting at. And I was thinking about this, and I wonder, have you ever been to a recovery meeting? I have. We used to host a number of AA meetings in our facility, and so Alcoholics Anonymous, other recovery groups, and particularly with AA, that's the one I have had the most experience with. They refer to themselves as recovering alcoholics, not as cured alcoholics or delivered, although some will say that God delivered them in a number of ways. They will still refer to themselves as a recovering alcoholic, and it is a reminder for them of where they've come from. And in our case, when we're talking about the way of blessing, when we look at what was going on with Israel, it's a reminder of why you and I, God's people, we must always be humble, because the fact is we're always one temptation away from falling back into our life of sin and our gap with God and letting guilt and shame build up barriers. And the next thing you know, the relationship with God is messed up. The relationship with others is messed up. And so we want to be where God's grace and mercy continue to keep us because he is so great in his mercy toward us. If you want to get a real pointed word out of this section that we're in right now in chapter 9, maybe you want to look with me at verse 24. Moses says, "You have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you." Wow. That's a real encouragement. Imagine if I stood in the pulpit of our church, in regular times, and we were all gathered together, and every Sunday I looked at you and I said, "I just want you to remember, you've been rebellious against the Lord ever since I've known you." It's not about building up shame and guilt for us. We're forgiven. When you're forgiven by Jesus Christ, that it's put in the past. The Lord does not remember those things against you, the Bible teaches us. But we have to remember that temptation can always draw us back. If we fall, we give into that, we open the door and we're not walking in the way. And it's interesting, if you keep looking there at chapter 9, which I asked you to keep your Bible open, you'll notice that Moses starts talking about his prayer life for a minute. And one of the things he said is, the Lord was going to destroy you, is fully justified in destroying us all. But I kept praying. I wouldn't get up off my knees. I wouldn't get up out of the dirt until the Lord heard my cry on your behalf. Now, whenever Moses talks like that, do understand he's not always speaking literally. He didn't wring this out of God. We know that God is merciful, but it's a way of expressing how lost we are and how separated we are from God. And Moses says, "I got down and I prayed," and he kept praying, and he kept wrestling with God, which says he not only believed with confidence in the power of God, but he prays with confidence because he knows of the faithfulness of God. His mercies, the Bible says, are new every morning. That provides the whole backdrop of the hymn that we love to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." God's mercies are new every morning. Moses believed that even before that passage was written, the power of God and the faithfulness of God. And if you look in chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, after running through all this with God and getting down on his knees and saying, "Man, we deserve to be destroyed in so many ways," he basically says in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 10, "God answered my prayer and said, let's move forward." Again, that's a great word to us as we are praying our way through the pandemic, as we are praying for others. We know that not everything will go our way, that not everything will be beautiful and easy, but we know that God has a vision for the future. God has a plan for our future. It is a good plan, and we need to keep moving forward with our eyes on Jesus. Okay, one more lesson, and this one's found in the remaining verses of chapter 10. So if you look at verses 12 through 22, in particular, in verse 12, you will see that the Lord's mercy towards us calls for us to walk in his ways. That's in verse 12. Now, next week, Pastor Jonathan will be teaching on the way of obedience from chapter 11. But in truth, it's runs throughout the book, and it certainly is clearly seen here in chapter 10. Obedience is just part of what it means to be God's people. He's God, not us. He has a path for us to walk. That path is the way. And what we recognize as followers of Jesus, you are a recipient, I'm a recipient, a beneficiary of God's grace and divine mercy. But that does not give us carte blanche to do whatever the heck we want or to keep on doing those things that we know are not in God's way. Matter of fact, you may remember another verse we love to quote, Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of thee? Again, it's an Old Testament passage, so keep it in light of the lordship of Jesus Christ. But he answers and he says, you know, it's a way that acts with justice, a way that loves mercy, a way that walks humbly with God. That's the way. That's what it looks like to the prophet Micah. That's what it looks like according to verse 12 of Deuteronomy 10, that to know God, to be in fellowship with God, means to also walk in his way. He's not just our cosmic Santa Claus. He's not a genie in a Bible that we rub to make wishes on Sunday. He is the one that we're to obey and to walk in the way that he has laid out before us. And listen, brothers and sisters, here's what we know. Whenever God commands us to do something, when in the scriptures he gives us guidance and asks us to do something, or conversely, when he warns us, forbids us, prohibits from doing some other thing, not in any of those cases is he trying to hurt us. He's not trying to be a killjoy. He's not trying to make life dull and uninviting. In fact, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 10, he says, I've come to give you life, the abundant life. So God wants us to have a life that is full and rich. He wants to provide that life to us. He wants to lead us into a life of holiness, good relationship with him and other people, to lead us away from sin. That's for our good. That's for our good. He desires to bless us in this way. And so part of our question usually is, well, how do we do that? How do we live out the life that God has called us to? Now, remember Moses, when he spoke, he's talking to a circumcised people, the people of Israel, who have been very used to obeying certain rituals, different acts required to be part of the people of Israel, circumcision and all this kind of thing. And what he says to them at this moment is, circumcise your hearts. The clear message for God's people in Old Testament or New Testament, but especially for Christians today, there are so many good things that we can do, right? Church attendance and worshiping God authentically and getting baptized and becoming an invested member of the body of Christ and diligent community service to people who are hurting and in need and generosity in our lifestyle. Those things are all very important, but none of those things will make you right with God if your heart is not right with God. True religion is always from the inside out, never from the outside in. One of the illustrations the Bible uses in numerous places is the illustration of clothing. You know, anybody can put on a new set of clothes and dress up to make things look better on the outside, to make the exterior look better. But the Bible teaches us that only God can change us from the inside out. Only God can completely renew us on the inside. God, because of his mercy, sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into this world. He lived, Jesus did, a perfect, sinless, righteous life. And then he died on the cross in your place and mine, and paid the price for our sin. And if we come to the cross and put ourselves on the mercy of God, we trust in his sacrifice, the power of his resurrection, we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. If we do that, you can be saved today and forever. That's the blessing of it, God's great mercy poured out to us. So let me kind of summarize and wrap us up. Listen, there's no shame. There's nothing necessarily terribly wrong about, you know, crying out to God in your suffering. We're not saying that's prohibited. Job did. Other Christians have. Paul said, I had a suffering that I asked God to take away, but he didn't. And so it's okay to let your suffering be made known to God and to say, why me? But then leave it with him and trust him. The same thing is true about our blessings. There's nothing wrong with recognizing your blessings, with being grateful for them. Certainly you should be. To always be grateful and humble in recognizing the good things that we've received and giving thanks to the right person, God, not us. It's not because of us. He deserves the honor for everything good that is in our lives. So when we ask, why me, Lord? When we seek to understand the way of blessing, we remind ourselves that we are not blessed because of ourselves and how good we are. We are blessed because the Lord is gracious and merciful, and that his blessing comes to us more fully as we walk in his ways, the way of obedience that is marked by acts of justice and mercy and walking in humility. This is the way of blessing. Walk in it. Have a blessed week.